topic, I often lead off with this particular statement. If this particular subject is not what we are about, we really have no right to exist as a church. We're simply contributing to the religious division that is all around us. We've got all kinds of holiness movements, Pentecostal movements, and Protestant movements, and Catholic movements around us, Jewish movements around us. And people are persuaded by way of what they're being told, not what the Bible says, we understand, because we in Churches of Christ are the idea of if the Bible speaks it, if the Bible says it, we are people to know what really is said there and understand what the Bible explains to us. And as a result of that, go about to teach others the gospel. And sometimes they'll say things like, this is the light turned on. This is something I never saw before. Why can't I see this? Why didn't my other people tell me this when I was in churches in other hands? Religious division is all around. We do not need to contribute to that religious division. And this is the one thing that makes us distinct. How does God authorize us in His Bible? The commands of God to Adam and Eve were to dress and till the garden. And of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, be separated from me. Is the idea of thou shalt surely die. They lived several hundred years beyond the time that they sinned against God and hid themselves in the garden. Physically, they did not die that particular day, but they were separated from God in the sense that their sin had separated them from God, and the blessings of God were not as readily available to them. There is the plan of God in Noah to deliver him and his household. If he will but build an ark of gopher wood, the dimensions God told him, the window he told, and the door he told, he did not tell him the tools to use. And the idea of the tools, we would be impossible for us to say he used this tool or that tool. He was not told the type of tools to use, but he was told the substance to make the ark from. And in Genesis 6 and 22, it is said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. There's a period of time there which we know is the patriarch period of time. When God spoke to the heads of families, Adam in the instance of that particular instance, Noah in that instance there. But there was going to be a change made. Moses one day would go up to the mount and there he would receive a table of stone. On that tablets of stone were written the commandments of God, the expectations of God for them. Regarding himself, thou shalt make no other gods before me. Thou shalt not call the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The idea of God in his ways, the first three or four commandments of that ten. But the last six of those commandments dealt with man's relationship to his fellow man. Honor thy father and thy mother. The idea of thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. The idea of being a covetous individual is rejected as being one who desires at any cost to get what others have, covetous ways of life. Those particular things dealt with man's relationship with his fellow man. And the idea of being people of God who would go through that desert and through that time into a promised land is set out by Joshua very vividly when he says, God did all in this regard and protected us and cared for us and delivered us to this land. There was coming, Moses said, another like unto me. And in Deuteronomy 18, he says in this regard, Jesus would be coming and to him should the people listen. They should hearken unto him and obey him. Listen and do what he says to. If it will be the case that they do not, they will be cut off from the people, cut off from the land of the living, cut off from the relationship to God. How does God want us to understand His Bible? He wanted us to understand there's a period of time to the patriarchs which he spoke to the heads of families. He wanted us to understand there's a time of Moses in which he spoke through his word, the written law of God. And there would come a time when he would speak to us by way of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus here came upon this earth in John 12, a very familiar verse that you will know very well, in John 12 and verses 48 and 49, Jesus said, "If you reject me and receive not my word, you have one that judges you. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." Then he went on to say in verse 49 of John 12, "For the word I speak unto you is not my own, but my Father gave me a commandment to deliver to you. And these are the words that I speak unto you." The word of the Heavenly Father was the word that Jesus was delivering. For the Father has spoken to the heads of families. The Father had spoken by way of the written law. And now the Father was speaking by way of his Son. It is wonderful to have those things in mind, for you and I today do not falsely take the idea that we're to build an ark for our salvation today, like Noah did there in Genesis 6, and obeyed God to the detail that God had given him. You and I find opportunity to obey God today, not by the virtue of the old law. For Paul will write in Galatians 5 and verse 4, that if we attempt to be justified by the works of the law, we would have fallen from the whole system of grace. The whole system of grace was built upon Christ coming and offering himself in our place, taking our sins in his own body and being crucified into death. And having a great trust in his Heavenly Father, though, that he would be called back from the dead. In the midst of this description that he gives in Matthew 12, he notes how that in 3 days, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, he would be in the heart of the earth and then be delivered. The enemies of Jesus, once he was crucified and put into that tomb of Joseph Arimathea, they understood and remembered what Jesus had said. You know, of all the things that the disciples that were with Jesus had really not heard, not remembered, and temporarily forgotten and everything, of all the things that they were around Jesus all the time and didn't miss, these guys that crucified him, that wanted to keep him dead, came to Pilate and said, "Set a watch out. This deceiver said in 3 days he will rise." How did they understand what Jesus plainly did say to them, just like he did to his disciples? It deals with what their mind was on. And you know what our mind is on today? It deals with a lot of things we think is serious. If our minds are on the judgment, our minds on obeying Christ Jesus, we'll get about a business of knowing what he said and practicing what he said. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you." John 6:33. We'll not be so bent upon finding ourselves seeking the things of this life, because we seek the things of the kingdom of God first. These other things will be added unto us. Our Lord Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation," in Matthew 26:41. "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We will be people who follow what Jesus said. We'll be watching and we'll be praying about our temptations. We'll never let them get the best of us, because we are watchful about the temptations we face. We miss some of them. Others that we fall into, we'll pray about it, and the Lord will forgive us. Like Simon in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things, Simon, that you've said will come upon me." Wonderful it is to have this privilege to be in this relationship with Christ Jesus. And we'll enjoy deliverance as we do. He seeks us every first day of the week. Here we are. And in John 4 and 23, the Father is in spirit, and he seeks those true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we come together today, There's a way in which our minds have to be focused. As the songs are sung, we can't let our minds drift so far away that we don't see the words that are there and the emphasis they're given. As prayers are being said, we don't let our minds so drift away that we don't say amen to it. Father, so let it be for me, particularly in this congregation. As we gather together and give, we give a proof of our love, not just one person's love, but our love to the work of the Lord going on in this place and throughout the world. Those attitudes that we have in mind of the Lord's Supper are precious. Here is the body of Jesus by this loaf. Here's the blood of Jesus by this fruit of the vine. When do the brethren partake of it? Well, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we read in verse 6 that 6 days early, Paul had arrived in that area and waited to meet up with the brethren. And on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. It was on the first day of the week that they honored this, the Lord's Supper. They met together and gave upon the first day of the week, according to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. As I've given order to the church of Galatia, so do you upon the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered. The work of the Lord going on. And in the worship of the Lord, the first day of the week was very involved with the Lord's Supper and with their giving. Preaching was done as well in those assemblies, according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 and 18. And they were singing and they were praying and they were preaching in those services as well as a lot of other services. But particularly on the first day of the week, the brethren assembled together. And what does it say in Hebrews 10, 25? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another daily. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is that the day of our meeting together, or is that the day of the judgment coming? A lot of questions about that. Whether it is or is not, don't I want to meet upon the assembly time? And if it is reference to the day, I'm there. And if it's reference to the judgment day, I will have been known to have been there. Isn't that the way it is? You know, we find ourselves in the way of following what Jesus said to do, or failing to follow what he said to do. When we follow what Jesus says, we're following the way that God wanted us to do. Peter, James, and John went up to the mountainside one day with Jesus in Matthew chapter 17. There was a period before them Elijah. There was a period before them Moses. Oh, it was the idea that Simon Peter spoke up and said, Lord, it's good that we're up here today with you. We'll go back down. We'll make three tabernacles. We'll make one unto you, one to Moses, one to Elijah. Second time the Lord spoke from heaven about his son. At his baptism, he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Here in Matthew 17, he says, this is my son of whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When they came down from that mountainside, you'll notice that they were not so busy about building a tabernacle for Moses or Elijah. They were busy with building up the church of the Lord, that Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or death shall not prevail against it. It's a blessing for you and me to follow what the Lord has said to do. And it got to not get mixed up in the sense that we're building an ark for our salvation today or obeying the works of the law in order to be saved today, but following what Jesus said. And what Jesus said about salvation In John 8:24, you must believe that I'm he, you would die in your sins. And in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He's talking about salvation in both instances. He's talking about salvation when we confess him in Matthew 10. In reference to this matter, our Lord Jesus pointed out very vividly, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. And the commission of our Lord, as he gave his disciples, going back toward heaven, he said, you go into all the world and you preach this good news, this gospel to everybody. And once you preach it to everybody, you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Did you catch this emphasis in this lesson today about how God teaches us his word? Jesus said, I have commanded you. That's what I want you to teach them. You teach them and you baptize them and you teach them to observe the things that I have commanded. And we try to illustrate the things that Jesus did command us as we seek first the kingdom of God, as we worship him in spirit and in truth, as we're people who forgive others their trespasses against us. It is the case that you and I find ourselves obeying the Lord as we should and not resisting temptation on our own, but we're watchful and prayerful. That's the way the Lord has taught us to do and be. And it's the way that we ought to. We have really no right to exist if we find ourselves honoring what we want to do, what our beliefs are, teaching our way of life and our plan, instead of going to his book of books and seeing what Jesus has said and what their teaching of the Lord was in that matter, and what those who followed him and the Spirit of God came and taught them all the things that he had commanded them. They're not all unveiled there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in John 16:13, when he said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. When this Holy Spirit came, he didn't speak just about himself and the ideals, but he spoke about the things yet to come. And in the things yet to come, he unveiled to Paul to write to the brethren at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body according to that we have done, whether it be good on our behalf or error, wrong on our behalf. As a result of that, we want to be prepared for that day. That's why we have preaching and teaching going on in this place. That's why we have tracts of plenty on the bulletin board out there available for anyone. That's why we print a bulletin every week and give a little bit of a message every week that we write the article about. You give the idea of this is a spiritual walk and this is what Jesus says. And sometimes we miss it with home and family. Sometimes we miss it with neighbors and friends. Sometimes we miss it with one another as a husband and wife. And there's no rhyme or reason why we ought to miss it when God has said for us to realize we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.